This is KERA. I'm Sam Baker. The high temperatures we're having are uncomfortable, but they can also be dangerous if we're not careful. In this edition of Vital Signs, what you need to remember about heat stroke and heat exhaustion. I talked about this with Dr. Alexander Eastman. He's medical director of Parkland Hospital's Trauma Center and an assistant professor of surgery at UT Southwestern Medical Center. What is the difference between heat stroke and heat exhaustion?
Heat stroke and heat exhaustion are heat-related illnesses that occur along a spectrum. So if you look at normal temperature and then heat stroke as the two ends of that spectrum, heat exhaustion is kind of in the middle. It's sort of a more mild form of heat illness or injury. Heat stroke can certainly be life-threatening. And once you get to the point where you have heat stroke, you are at risk of having, you know, death or serious complications. And so what we think is important is to intervene way before you get to that point.
What exactly causes heat stroke? I mean, obviously it's related to high temperatures, or does it have to be related to 90s or in the 100s?
No, it's mostly related to high temperatures. And basically what happens when your body temperature rises, many things that occur in the body are the result of enzymatic reactions. And those things occur and function at a very narrow range of temperature. So your body has great compensatory mechanisms to try to maintain it at our normal body temperature. But as you exert yourself and as the ambient temperature rises and the heat index rises, mm-hmm. then at some point your body, its ability to maintain its normal temperature is uncoupled. And when your body temperature rises, certain systems in your body start to shut down. And that's the definition of heat stroke.
Can this happen after a short period in the heat, or is it prolonged period, and for how long?
That usually occurs from some prolonged exposure to the heat. And also some degree of exertion, because most people at their normal activity level aren't going to sustain heat stroke unless they're exposed to the elements for quite some time.
So I'm thinking immediately like construction workers or maybe even kids involved in athletics.
That's exactly what's going on right now is kids are outside playing. Construction workers and firefighters and police officers don't have a choice. They're outside in the elements all the time. And those are the populations that we really see that are at risk. There's one other one that sometimes we don't think of, and that's elderly. Some of the compensatory mechanisms that keep their body temperatures regulated don't work as well as you age.
What are the signs of heat exhaustion or heat stroke?
The signs of heat exhaustion and heat stroke are sometimes subtle, but I think what's important is for you to listen to your body. If you feel like you're thirsty, you're already a little bit behind in terms of the volume of fluid that your body needs. So you really need to listen to that. If you're thirsty, if you're lightheaded, if you feel bad, you feel like, hey, the heat's starting to get to me, then it is. And that's the time where you need to sit down, get into a cool place, get some cool fluid, some water into you, and try to recover a little bit before you resume your activity. And if you run across someone who seems to have those symptoms, then it's best not only to do all of the things we discussed, but also to get them into a cool, breezy environment, try to get the air moving across their skin, try to get some evaporative cooling to take place.
Dehydration, I assume, is a very important thing to watch out for here.
If you look at the United States military has done some of the best work in terms of hydration tables and the amount of fluid that it requires to work when the heat index is over 100 like this, mm-hmm. even with a moderate amount of work in conditions like we're having right now around the Metroplex, I think people are surprised at how much fluid they have to consume to keep up. The bottom line is, and you know, I'm the doctor on the SWAT team here, and what I tell all our guys is if you don't feel like you have to pee, you haven't caught up yet. So keep going until you feel like you have to go to the bathroom.
The obvious question then, how do we avoid heat stroke or heat exhaustion? Besides the obvious of not sustaining prolonged exposure to high heat.
The old adage that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure is never more true in heat-related illness and injury. If you can prevent yourself from getting heat exhaustion or heat stroke in the first place, you'll stay less susceptible to getting it again. Because once you get it, you're susceptible to having it over and over. In fact, in some units in the military, once you have heat stroke, you're no longer eligible to deploy.
Really?
Once you have it. And so I think for us, the key thing is, again, to focus on how you feel, to pay attention to the signs that your body's giving you, and to take frequent rest and fluid breaks if you're out working or playing in this weather.
Dr. Eastman, thank you for being with me.
Sam, you bet. My pleasure.